what's your current tax situation and what is your likely future tax situation, right? Based on what you're doing today. So because it's not about paying the least amount of taxes in one calendar year, mm-hmm. it's about paying the least amount of taxes over a lifetime, as we talk about all the time on the show. And that's so important.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome back into the Retirement Cafe. I am Ben George. Great to have you today. I'm joined, as always, by Dan Reese and Brent Oliver over at Avery Wealth. And today, we're talking about required minimum distributions. You might have heard of them as RMDs. Either way, they are an important part of the retirement plan and one we're looking forward to talking to you about today. And guys, glad to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to hear from you. This is an exciting topic because it creates so many issues. So I think it'll be really good for listeners out there to understand them a little better.
I also think that with RMDs, you don't really think about them until you have to, right? I mean, it's not something you're dealing with day in, day out of your working career. It's just something you kind of face all of a sudden in retirement.
Yeah, I think that's why they're such a big deal, because people really don't understand the impact they can have on their overall plan. And so it's really good to get your arms around it and understand what they are, how they work, and if you can do anything, right, Brent?
Because unfortunately, I think a lot of times when people find out about it, if they haven't done any planning, it's like, uh-oh, like there's this big surprise. And we'll talk some more about, you know, kind of what can happen on the show today.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, well, what can't we do something about this? You're like, well.
Or it's, you know, we talked about this too. Like a lot of people think, well, I'm going to be retired, so I'm not going to have a tax issue.
Yeah, throw as much income as you want at me. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn. We want to try to help you understand RMDs today on this episode of the Retirement Cafe and how they affect your retirement planning. So that is the goal. Again, we'll put every episode up online at everywealth.com. There you can also schedule a meeting with Dan and Brent. You can also get their college report, the free college money report, just by visiting yourcollegereport.com, another great tool that they offer there at Avery Wealth. A lot of great resources on the website, so please check it out when you get a minute. So I guess to begin this conversation, we just assume that many people know what RMDs are, but for those that don't, let's explain first what the required minimum distribution actually is.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say, Ben, right?
I think that's, you mentioned, Ben, like what is surprising to me is how few people actually know this. Like, I know a lot do, but it's surprising to some people, like, wait, I have to take money out of my retirement account at a certain age. They're just shocked by that. And I think that that's part of what creates this problem. But an RMD, or required minimum distribution, is just the IRS requires that you start to take money out of your traditional IRAs, which are, you know, maybe were a 401k or a 403b. When you reach the age of 72, that's recently been changed from 70 and a half and is now 72.
Yeah, and it's funny because it sneaks up on you. A lot of people are working longer. They just got done contributing to those accounts many times. Right. And all of a sudden, they're like, what do you mean I have to take money out of that, right? And so, you know, they may not want to. They may not need it even from an income standpoint.
I wonder why you have to do that.
Yeah. IRS may want some tax dollars, right?
I think so, yep.
But it really is interesting, that change from 70 and a half. So for years and years, 70 and a half, which is funny because it's typical IRS stuff, right?
Right.
So if you were 70 and a half at the end of the year, so by December 31st, that's when your first required minimum distribution would be due. And recently, I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, they changed it to age 72. So they gave it, so it's a little bit later and it's a little easier, because if you're 72 at the end of the year, your required minimum starts. So that's, at least they simplified that.
Yeah. And I think that's probably why a lot of people might be aware of RMDs right now, because of that legislation that came through with the Secure Act. So I'm sure people that at least weren't aware of them are probably glad we're talking about them now to help explain a little bit more. So we talk about those withdrawals. How much are we actually talking about? Because I hear the RMDs, but I don't ever actually hear a figure associated with it.
Again, they have to complicate it, right? Instead of just being like, oh, a percentage or something like that, there's what you do is at the end of the previous year. So on December 31st, you would take that account value and then you divide that by a divisor that is based on how old you are in that current year.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, again, a lot of people, they're confused because they're like, well, like Brent was saying, well, is it like $10,000 I have to take out? And we're like, well, unfortunately, a couple of things. It's based on how much money you have in there. And so one thing that can really confuse people once you began taking these is they're like, well, it was only $30,000 last year. Why is it $38,000 this year? Well, if you've had a big like market year where you've had a big returns in the market, like 2020, that could change substantially. And every year you're older, that divisor, that number that you divide into your balance gets a little smaller. So the smaller that number equals a bigger distribution, right? So like, what's an example?
So it just inches up periodically, you know, over time.
Yeah, yeah. So as an example, we ran just a quick number. You know, if you're age 72, right, your first year, if you had $1 million IRA, so and we're going to get into this in more detail, but think about all the accounts that you've accumulated over the years that are pre-tax money that you've put in, you got a tax break when it went in, and you haven't paid any taxes on it as it's grown. So those are typically the accounts that this applies to. So if you're age 72 and you had $1 million in all those accounts together, and that was your December 31st balance of the prior year, and you were 72 by the end of that current year, it'd be about just over $39,000, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, that gives you an idea. So, it's a significant amount.
It's just under, well, it's just under 4% of your account value.
Right. And so, like, and that's going to go up slightly every single year. So, if your account balance is growing and that's going up, you could see this. These can get pretty significant.
Which is just, again, this is just all taxable income, right? So, when that is added to whatever else you have, Social Security and all those types of things, that's where there can be some big shocking moments for people, like especially that don't need that money.
Yeah. So when you start looking at our tax code, you know, we've got all these, they're kind of like almost like phantom taxes. All these things pop up that you don't really understand why they're popping up. So like you have this extra income that's forced on you with these required minimums, right, Brent? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my Medicare premium went up or something. We're going to talk more about it later on, but it's really complex.
Yeah, and just adding anything, and even before RMDs, whenever you're adding additional income, right, it's always at the top levels. And so if you know how the tax brackets work, you know, it's stair-stepped in each, you know, and so the higher dollars are at the higher rates, right? And so when you're adding this income, it can create some big problems.
Yeah, it always seems like the worst case scenario, you know, so anyway.
Yeah, and I think when people hear about this, and or at least when they're presented with this, meeting with an advisor, and okay, I've got to take money out, here's how much I got to withdraw, it's going to affect my taxes, I think the first question actually is, well, is there anything we can do about this to bring that number down? So are there any special circumstances that can change that number?
Not too many, unfortunately, right, Brent? There's a couple. You know, you look at the first ones, really, just if your spouse happens to be, if you're married and your spouse happens to be like more than 10 years younger than you, it can reduce it a little, but I think you ran those.
What's the difference? Ran that. And so what Dan's saying is that if you're at RMD age, right? So say you're 72 years old and we'll use that same example, $1 million in your IRA, for example, if you just took your RMD, it's about $39,000, right? If your spouse is in this example, I put the spouse was 58. So the husband or wife, whichever, we'll say it was the husband was 72 and the wife was 58. Mm-hmm. His RMD at 72 instead of 39,000 would be around 35,000. So it doesn't do a huge amount, but what it helps is, I mean, obviously they're doing that because the spouse is going to need that money for a lot longer time. So the life expectancy of that couple is longer. So they don't want to put as much stress on the IRA as you would have to otherwise.
Yeah, and I think the important thing to know about that is your spouse also, not only do they have to be more than 10 years younger, but they have to be your primary beneficiary, right?
Yes.
Like you couldn't have somebody else noted on that account. So one of the things, and we didn't mention this at the beginning, it's worth mentioning, this stuff is complicated.
It is complicated.
There's a guy, his name's Ed Slott. He's kind of a famous CPA out in the New York area. And that's all he does, honestly. It's like, look at all these crazy rules around IRAs and distributions. And so the one thing we caution anybody listening is that you got to do research on your own situation and talk to people that, you know, would be in the know, because it's real easy to make some mistakes with this.
And then there's another one too, where you could, you know, reduce how much you have to take. And that's if you're still working, right? And so if you are still working and you're 72, if you have IRAs, which an IRA is not a qualified employer account, right? It's mm-hmm. it's something different. So if you have an IRA, you still have to take your RMD. So let's be clear on that part. If you're still working and you're participating in a 401k or a 403b or other qualified employer plan, you probably do not have to take it out of that account.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, for example, if you're working somewhere, you have a 401k and you're an active employee and you're still employed there, you're not going to have to take it out of that 401k, but it doesn't change any of the other types of accounts that you have out there.
Yeah, and that's a great, great planning moment, because here's the thing. Several years ago, they've kind of changed rules where you can move money much easier from one type account type to another. So like if you're still working, many plans, and this is not all plans, not all 401ks or 403bs, but many of them allow you to move money back into those, like IRAs, different things like that. So if you think of it this way, let's say you had a lot of IRAs and you're 72 and you're going to have all this money you have to pull out and you're still working and you have a pretty significant income maybe. Maybe an idea might be to see if you could roll some of those IRAs back into your 401k to maybe prevent some of that. But again, this stuff's complicated. This may or may not work, right. And that's why you got to check your own situation, right?
Right, and you need to really make sure that that works within your plan
mm-hmm.
and your investment plan and things like that, because we all know inside 401ks, a lot of times you're very... And so you would just want to make sure that you're... To avoid taxes, you're not sacrificing... your investment plan.
Right. And it may be that it's better to take some of those then too. So it's like yes. everybody's different, but right. just think about all the things that go into this.
There's a lot, obviously, that goes into this. And so we've talked about how much you got to withdraw and how that kind of factors in. Well, when do you actually have to take it out? Is it the very first of the year? Can you wait as long as possible? How does that play out?
You know, it's funny, Ben, that question you would think would be maybe not as challenging of a question, but if you ask most people about it, that's the biggest thing they wonder about is, do I have to have it out on my birthday?
Yeah.
Is it the right. first of the year? Is it the end of the year? Is
Tax
it somewhere
day.
In between? Yeah. Right. But the truth is, it's the end of the year. You have to have it out by 12/31, right?
Okay.
Generally speaking, we'll get into a little caveat on that, but generally speaking, by December 31st. And what happens, Brent, if you don't take it out?
Well, there's some massive penalties. It's a 50% penalty, actually. So,
oh, wow.
You really don't want to make that error.
Right.
because it's one of the more costly errors that you can make.
Yeah, so you really just have to be aware of, if you have a required minimum, make sure you get it done on time so you don't run into any issues in the penalty area.
Just go ahead and take your medicine, right?
Exactly.
Get it over with. I've seen that you can actually wait until April 1st of the following year when you're making your first required minimum distributions. Or what do we need to know about that?
Yeah. The IRS gives you, I don't know if it's a grace period. I don't feel like it is when you learn a little bit more about this. But the first year that you need to take an RMD, you have actually until April 1st to take that out. So of the following year, mm-hmm. right? So December 31st can pass and you can get to April 1st just before the tax deadline and take that distribution. There's some problems with doing it that way that you really need to think through and make sure, because a lot of people would be like, well, that's great. Then I don't have to owe that tax in that particular year, right? It would be in the next year. Well, that next year, what would happen then is you would have two RMDs in the same tax year if you waited. And so again, that can drive up your income tax rate, even depending on where you fall on the income tables.
Yeah. And what's really confusing about that is we get used to a lot of things in life. Like, I'll give you a simple example. When you think of your tax planning, like if you were going to fund your IRA, let's say your regular IRA or your Roth IRA, generally speaking, you have up until your tax deadline
yes.
to fund it for the prior year, right? So we're in 2021 this year. You know, if you were funding your 2020, you actually had up until the tax deadline, which was even extended further this year, yeah. right? Well, so we get thinking about that. But with the required minimum distribution, the income hits your tax return on the year the money's pulled out. So like, I think a lot of people get confused and say, oh, I can wait till April 1st. It's still going to, maybe I'll have a choice, or maybe it's going to count towards my prior year. No, it counts in the year you pull it out. So that's right. where what you're talking about, that challenge comes in, where you've got you take your first one in April 1st, by April 1st, and then you take your next one, you have to have it out by when? December 31st.
Right.
So to that first year, and you could have a real issue.
Yeah, because it's just going to, again, drive that income higher than it otherwise should be, creating more taxes.
Yeah, I will say there are some circumstances that works really well. Like, as an example, if you're a high income earner, you're retiring at 72, it might be a lot better for you to take two of them in 1 year. So I think the point is it's not always good or always bad. It really depends on your circumstances.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning opportunities here. There always are. And this is the specific area there is. But I want to go more into timing a little bit. And I think there's another maybe a planning opportunity in when you take your RMDs. Can you distribute them in different ways throughout the year?
This is a great, great planning opportunity for sure. So if you need, like, just so you know, first of all, you can take them any way you want them. You could take them every month, you know, split it. If you had a required minimum distribution, you know, you could split it into 12 and take a 12th every month. You could take them quarterly, semi-annually, all at one time. You could take them January 5th. You could take them December 30th, right? Anytime throughout the year, you can take them as long as that money's out. But there are things to think about in this regard. And so one of the things is, do you need the money or not, right? So one of the things we know is, like, what a lot of people will do is if they don't need the money, they might say, hey, you know what? I know I have to take it out of that retirement account, but I'm going to go ahead and reinvest that in my after-tax account or my brokerage or joint account, if you will, just different names people might use for them. Well, once it's in an account like that, then you've got different tax issues like dividends, capital gains, and all that kind of stuff. So one thing you might do if that's your plan, you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to wait till December so I don't have that sitting there in the brokerage account all year accumulating like capital gains, right?
Yeah.
I'll take those gains there. I mean, and that may or may not be best for you.
Right.
Just depends on your situation. But you do have to look at, you know, Brent, you just said that earlier. What's your plan?
Yeah. Yeah, it all comes down to that, like what is the use of it? Because a lot of people that, you know, that we see will say, all right, well, like Dan mentioned, just spread it out each month. All right, you have to take out, we'll make it easy, $12,000, right?
Yeah.
$1,000 is going to hit your account. We'll withhold the taxes from it, and it gets deposited once a month. You've fulfilled your RMD by the end of the year. Everything's great.
Yeah.
And so it just really depends on your situation.
Yeah. But it's flexible. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the flexibility of different retirement accounts. So I know a lot of people now, you know, you're changing jobs, you're moving around, you're saving in different areas, hopefully for tax planning purposes later on. So you're going to have different buckets of money. You might have an IRA, a 403B, a 401K, all these different accounts. Is there anything you should be considering in terms of what to be pulling from?
One of the things, Ben, we talk about all the time is simplification, right? This is a great example of why simplifying your situation can be really valuable. What's the challenge with having all these different types of accounts, Brent?
Well, I mean, it can get really, really complicated is the problem. And that's where errors can be made, which we talked about the penalty for these. And so you want to make sure that you're getting it all out. So as a general rule, right, we'll just kind of try to keep it simple. If you had multiple IRA accounts, right, they're all titled as IRA accounts, you can take the required minimum distribution for all of those, add it together, and just take it out of one account. That's
okay, fine. So you don't have to take them out of each one separately.
No. Now, if you have multiple types of accounts, like Ben was talking about in the question, and you have an IRA, a 403B, and a 401K, for example, you've got to take them out of each one of those accounts separately, that you have to fulfill it, right?
Yeah.
Out of each one of those.
Yeah. So what you're saying is if I had two 403Bs, three IRAs, a couple 401Ks, now you start getting into some challenges because you have to group them.
Yes.
And then you have to figure out, okay, am I going to take them out of one of those in each of those groups, or am I going to take them their own RMD out of each one? And I see where it could be easy to mess it up.
Yeah, because even within the grouping rules, there's like IRAs and 403Bs can be grouped together, but 401Ks can't. So if you have multiple 401Ks, you have to take it out of each 401K separately. So the rules are all mixed together and it's very convoluted and can create some problems. So in all of those cases, I mean, if you are retired, and when Dan's talking about simplification, is all of those could be in an IRA, right? And you've got one account. And that's all you have to worry about.
Yeah, and what's challenging too, like, and we've seen this before, is sometimes if you've got, like, let's say you've got an annuity payment where it's like, hey, it's sending you out so much money, but before you annuitize, or you didn't change it to like an IRA before you annuitize, so it's in like a 403B. Well, that may be sending out more money per year than you really have to take out. And right. So you end up, but it doesn't offset the other account types.
Right. So more forced income.
More forced income. So this is really an opportunity to plan this out and understand how all this stuff applies so that you can make sure you're in the best situation to not have to take out more money than what you need to through this stuff. But there's one special one that we have to talk about. We're going to talk more about this on another show. One type of IRA has no required minimum distribution.
Yes.
Drum roll. We don't know if we have that, right?
Where's
the sound effects, Ben? Come on.
We'll do that in post.
So that's the Roth IRA, right? And so we're going to talk about that in an upcoming show.
Yeah, and the Roth IRA has a lot of benefits, but that's one of them. No required minimum distribution for the primary or for the main account owner. So we'll get into that in a later show, but I just wanted to mention that because I think it's good to understand that your Roth does not have a required minimum distribution unless it's in a Roth 401k, which we didn't think about.
That's right. It does in that case.
And so there are this stuff, again, very complicated, but understanding that we get that question a lot. Hey, my Roth, do I have to take money out of? Typically, the answer is no.
Okay. Well, another benefit potentially for utilizing your Roth and savings. One other consideration for these withdrawals is charity. There are a lot of people that want to give to, you know, causes that are close to them. Can they take this money from their retirement account and then directly donate it to charity?
Yeah, this has been one of the better planning opportunities the last few years with recent legislation. And so in the past, like, we kind of know the deal. Like, when you gave to charity, like basically when you'd go and you'd do your tax return, that would be part of your itemized deductions, right? So like if you said, hey, I gave $10,000 to this charity, when your CPA was going through your tax return, that would be counted. Like they'd count your property taxes and maybe other taxes you'd paid and then money to charity and maybe interest on your mortgage. You get the kind of gist of it. And so what was great is that you'd get credit, if you will, for like giving to charity in a reduction in your tax bill. The problem is what's changed with the latest Trump tax cuts, which was it 16, 17, whenever, a few years ago. Yeah. Most people now use the standard deduction, right? So what that means is that when you itemize all the stuff up, it's below what your standard deduction would be. And so like you don't really get a quote benefit
out of that $10,000
that you gave to charity, right? Other than the, hey, it feels good to give that money. And so it's big, like as an example, I think for a married couple in retirement, it's got to be pushing $27,000, the standard deduction.
Yeah, I don't have it here, but it's
somewhere
it's
in that range. Yeah. And so the thing is, most people just never get to that. Well, this rule was added, which is great, and it's called a qualified charitable distribution, right? What's that mean, Brian?
So it really just lowers your taxable income instead by that $10,000 if you were to get in that example. So instead of if you had a $20,000 IRMD, you could get $10,000 for yourself and $10,000 would be directly from the custodian to the qualified charity.
Yeah. So I can't think of the right term right offhand, but a qualified charity, and it's got to be written to them, the check, right?
Yes.
And so, yeah. So in essence, that never hits your tax return.
Right.
So in the past, you'd take money out of your retirement account, that would hit your tax return. And then on the backside, you'd have almost like a negative because you gave some of that to charity. Well, now this is a way that you can capture that large standard deduction and still give the money to charity and really reduce your income by the amount you gave to charity through that qualified charitable distribution. And one of the cool things is you don't have to actually wait till you're 72. Once you're 70 and a half, you can actually begin to do that. Now, you wouldn't have had to have taken money then, right, Brent, out of your account?
Right, because you're not at RMD age.
Right, but it can be a really good planning opportunity because you can begin to whittle away at those balances, so it reduces your future required minimum distribution, which is great. One caveat.
There are some caps. Is that what
there
you're
There are
going?
Caps, yeah. We'll get to the caps, but also you have to be 70 and a half or older. Like a lot of people, because of the way rules are, again, oh, but I'm turning 70 and a half this year. You cannot write a check out of that thing, out of your retirement account to the charity until you've reached that age, or they're going to disallow it and it'll be treated as a regular distribution to you.
Right.
So then there are some other things.
Yeah. So the other thing is that there's a cap. So you can only do $100,000 per year out of this.
Yep.
Right. So you can't go above that. Now, if you're married, your spouse had an IRA of their own, then they could also do that. So you could conceivably do a couple $100,000 in one year.
Yeah, which is significant. I mean, the thing is, we talk about like, so, and this is where it gets confusing again, is that somebody might be like, well, we're married and I don't have an IRA, but my spouse has a really large IRA. Shouldn't we still be able to do 200? Well, the way we understand it, the stuff's complicated, yeah, is that no, you would not be able to do that. You each have to have your own IRA to do that.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into this, and I'm glad we're having this discussion. And I think about people that have put together and been really good at saving and put together big retirement accounts. They've saved quite a bit, and they have a nice nest egg. Well, they could end up, it sounds like, being stuck with a pretty big RMD that could have big tax implications for them in retirement. So I'm assuming that planning, we always talk about, is necessary, you know, in all aspects, but I'm assuming, again, that good planning is essential here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing that people need to do is understand where they're going, right?
Yeah.
So like we always talk about, what's the default plan? What the default is, you do nothing,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you might save some, and then you take, you know, your Social Security at
62,
and you know, those are kind of just like what people just do by default. Well, my neighbor told me to do this, so that's what they end up doing.
Yeah.
Right. And so with this, you want to know, and we talk about this quite a bit on the show, is just making sure that you understand what's your current tax situation and what is your likely future tax situation, right? Based on what you're doing today. So because it's not about paying the least amount of taxes in one calendar year, mm-hmm, it's about paying the least amount of taxes over a lifetime, as we talk about all the time on the show, and that's so important. So you should be, as you're leading up to retirement, making sure that you have a good different buckets of money.
Yeah, a good mix of savings vehicles, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people really aren't paying high taxes when they're younger, especially if you have kids, you're starting out, you've got lots of deductions, lots of exemptions, and all that fancy tax titling, whatever. But the reality is your average tax rate might be like 8% or 6%. Well, you should be paying tax today, right? Saving that money in a Roth so that you don't have the required minimum problem later. But I think a lot of the people, to be fair, this kind of arises later. They've already been through life. They're at retirement. Yeah. These issues are already there. And so there's still things you can do. Like, I'll give you a simple example, like put off Social Security and take more money out of retirement accounts early in retirement, right? That could be something.
Which, that's a great point. And that's a lot of times what the advice that we give people is, depending on their situation. And it's really difficult, don't you think, Dan, for people to do that? Because a lot of times they're like, oh my gosh, so you're telling me I need to use up my own money and wait on Social Security? Why would I do that?
You know?
But that's a perfect example of, it's going to help you in the long run in your tax situation.
Yep, absolutely. And other things like Roth conversions, where you're able to take some money out of your pre-tax account, convert it to a Roth, which counts as taxable income in a given year. So it's similar to taking money out early for your own spending needs. But the reality is like that could be a significant help. So there's definitely planning opportunities, but everyone's situation's different.
Yeah.
Everyone's resources are different. So you have to meet with a qualified advisor to find out what's best for you.
That is what is key, as always. And guys, this has been great information, as always. Really kind of cleared up some questions I had on RMDs, and hopefully it did the same for everybody that's listening. But it can be confusing. I mean, even with all this, you might want to reach out and sit down and have a meeting, discuss these things even further, which you can do at averywealth.com. But let's provide like a short summary here to kind of close things out.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is required minimum distributions, they're really designed to get money, like the government wants to see some tax dollars on that. So the thing is, it's forcing you to take some of that money out over time. And really, if you don't understand how they work, you can have some major issues come up from taxes and other costs that may pop up because your income gets very high. Reality is, have a solid retirement plan that looks at where that's going, and be able to do some things ahead of time to offset some of those major distributions that are going to occur without any actions. And really, honestly, find qualified advisors. Find a qualified, you know, certified financial planner, a good CPA to work with, so you can better understand how the rules apply to you, because it's complicated, very complex. Our disclaimer is that be very careful. We're trying to give you good information, but every situation can be slightly different, so we don't know how it applies to you directly. So build that relationship with someone that really is going to help you make good long-term decisions.
Well, Dan and Brent can do that for you. If you don't have someone to work with, please reach out to Avery Wealth. We'll put this podcast up there as well if you want to share it with someone that maybe is approaching their RMD age and they want to learn more about the strategies and considerations they should be making right now. But if you want to call Dan and Brent directly to have that conversation, you can do so at 517-783-1695. Dan and Brent, appreciate it as always. Great information, great data to back things up, and I look forward to our next conversation.
It sounds good, Ben.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.